why did you accept this invitation from the BBC to sit on the Question Time panel with Nick Griffin?
Well, Nick Clegg and I thought long and hard when we were first approached by the BBC saying that they were intending to invite Nick Griffin. And we thought that it would be frankly absurd for the most authoritarian, intolerant, immoderate, extremist party to go unchallenged by the party that represents all of the opposites to the BNP, as the Liberal Democrats do, standing for tolerance and for moderation. And so once the decision had been taken by the BBC, we decided that we had to be there to make sure that our viewpoint was put across.
The BBC Trust is still considering a call from Labour's Peter Hain to veto Griffin's appearance. Would you welcome the Trust blocking his appearance on Question Time?
Well, I looked carefully at the case that Peter Hain was making, and I have to say I was not persuaded by that. I think that the BBC has to be in a position where it's completely impartial, and when a party passes a certain threshold, in this case electing two members of the European Parliament, then in line with past precedent from UKIP and the Greens, it gets a certain play on broadcast media, including getting invited onto Question Time. And I think that Peter Hain is saying, look, they have not yet cleared up their membership criteria in line with the last week's court judgment, which found that they couldn't discriminate against black and Asian British citizens. But frankly, I thought that was a bizarre court case in any case. I don't know why any black or Asian person would want to join a racist organization which was aiming to get them out of the country. And I think that if we were to go down the road that Peter Hain is suggesting, it would look as if we were attempting to gerrymander a debate. And I think it would merely create more sympathy for the BNP, putting everybody else in the position of trying to stop them getting their points across in an unfair way. So I think that it's now the right thing to do is to appear on the programme and to try and make clear exactly what the differences are, led by many people with a criminal record and which doesn't have a respect for traditional British values of democracy and freedom and respect for the rule of law and the rest of us.
Will the Question Time format with a studio audience favouring sound bites, will that allow you to pick Griffin's arguments apart?
Well, I think that it always depends on the context. Clearly, it's not as easy to pick apart an argument in the Question Time format as it is, for example, if you're being interviewed by Jeremy Paxman or John Humphreys or whoever it happens to be. But I still think it is possible to interject, and I still think it is possible to see how the party puts across some of its ideas. And I think that when people see some of the crazy things, frankly, that the BNP is advocating, they're going to think, well, perhaps this is not the party that we ought to be supporting. This genuinely is an extremist party in the tradition of the National Front, and before that, the British Union of Fascists and Sir Oswald Mosley. And I just don't think it's a party that most British people would want to have any truck with.
How will you respond if Griffin says something on a subject that's not about racism or immigration, something that you agree with?
Well, I think that clearly it is the case that we don't disagree on everything in exactly the same way as I believe it's the case that human beings share 96% of their DNA with chimpanzees, but that doesn't make me a chimpanzee. And I think that it would be quite astonishing if Griffin were to be able to get through a whole hour of television without saying something which was of general something that was generally sensible. But I think the key point is to come back to the really fundamental issues where he is clearly at odds, by the way, often with most of his own supporters, who are not generally racist, but who are people who are very disaffected by the political process, who don't feel that they have been given a fair crack of the whip by Labour or the Conservatives. And I have a lot of sympathy with BNP supporters in that sort of situation, not people who are racist, but people who want a real change in the political system and a real constitutional change so that everybody's vote counts wherever they live and they have some choice not only over the party but also over the politicians, the people who are elected, so that their MPs actually serve them rather than feathering their own nests and dipping into the taxpayers' pocket.
What's your view of the publication online of what's purported to be the names and addresses and phone numbers of BNP members?
Well, I haven't looked at that, and I don't know whether it's accurate. I mean, there was a previous leak of BNP members, and that obviously set up a great controversy as to whether if people join a political party, that should be a matter for them, or whether it's a matter publicly that they have to then defend. It seems to me that in this particular case, we shouldn't vilify anybody for being a member of any political party. What matters is their behavior. It's not that they are... I mean, that's why I'm very much against, for example, the teachers' campaign from the NASUWT to ban members of the BNP from teaching. If people are racist or homophobic or in other ways don't uphold general values that parents would expect, then they shouldn't be teaching. But I don't think that you can assume that a member of a party, even one as unpleasant as the BNP, is necessarily going to be unable to separate their professional from their private views.
You've been described, Chris, I hope you don't mind me reminding you, you've been described as the Lib Dems' attack dog. Will you be approaching Nick Griffin in this debate in a different way than you will the other panellists?
I'm usually pretty fierce on both the Labour Party and the Conservatives, and I think that if you look at the reasons why the BNP thrive in some parts of the country, it is because BNP supporters have a totally legitimate grievance against the political system. My contention is simply that the Liberal Democrats are the only party that can put those grievances right, as we have proved, for example, in Burnley, because we're also the only party of the main three parties that has managed to take on the BNP and roll them back. We've halved BNP support in Burnley in the last 4 years. We're now controlling the council, and I believe we will win the MP there at the next general election. And that is a record which speaks for itself. We are able to take on the BNP because we believe in good old-fashioned Liberal Democrat community politics, serving people, listening to them, not just turning up at election time, but actually meeting their concerns. And so I'm going to be just as tough on Labour and the Conservatives for letting the country down as I am on the BNP for stepping into the vacuum that the tired and failed old Labour Party and Tory Party two-party system has left behind.